They're both a blessed memory now. Mom passed away in March. My dad did in 2016. They weren't perfect parents, but they were good parents. They were God-fearers. They had faith in Jesus Christ. I'm very fortunate. But I feel extremely fortunate with my father and the relationship that I had with him. But I can tell you, I had a healthy fear of my dad. He worked construction. He was a big man. He was strong. I was well into high school before I thought maybe physically I could take him. So I had a lot of healthy respect for him. But I got to tell you, the kind of fear that I had was I was never afraid to come home. Never. Well, I'll condition that just a little later. There was never, and I want to be very careful because God works in all situations, but I was very thankful. My dad was seldom angry, and he never flew off at the handle. And my coming home to the reception I had was never determinant if he'd had a bad day or needed to take it out or wanted to kick the dog and here's the eldest son coming home. Never, ever, ever. Never feared that way whatsoever. And one of my brothers even said that it was really something that we hardly ever saw Dad mad, and maybe he was. Maybe he'd get worked up about something. He would have been worked up this last week in politics, but I'm not going to go there. But he would not stay mad very long. That was just my dad. A smile and a warmth. And until maybe fifth grade, when it wasn't cool anymore, I could feel his whiskers and the kiss and the embrace and everything else. But I was afraid to come home now and then when just occasionally I acted up and did something that he clearly laid out and said you were not to do. Like going to those new houses that were being constructed and being warned the first time when I had done so and got tar all over, prying the bucket loose. And he was often good for giving you one warning. There was no counting to three. He says, all right, that was wrong and you know better. You'll rue the day. I never knew what that meant, but it didn't sound good. You'll rue the day that you ever do that again, which was usually the very next day coming home from school because those new houses, I can't help it. Construction's always, any boy's excited about construction. And we were with a tar, and I'm looking, and I've got it on my clothes, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I was afraid to go home, and for a really good reason. I wished my name was Chip Anderson, was a friend of mine, because for whatever reason, his dad didn't instill that kind of fear, and Chip probably wasn't going to get in much trouble. My dad loved me too much and was going to do whatever humanly possible he could do to get me to live just a little bit better. I think that's a healthy fear. And I don't think we get quite beyond that. But Dad got over even the punishments that were never very pleasant and could quickly be in his lap eating popcorn, watching John Wayne and eating fudge. And could always thank God John Wayne made a lot of movies. Because usually he went to bed at 8 o'clock, but whenever John Wayne was on, and that was often, we could sit up and watch the movie with him. I happen to like John Wayne to this day. So fear is another word for faith, but it's a healthy aspect of our trust in God. We're dealing with the sovereign of the universe, whose word speaks things into existence, who chastises legitimate sons and daughters because he loves and cares for us. Somebody ought to say amen to that. We're going to become Baptist here, but I think Lutherans were using amen before Baptists were. But so for those who have faith, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, but think S-O-N, we're entitled, we're New Testament, we see the fulfillment of all Scripture. But this beautiful dawning of a new day, what a beautiful picture. We've all had the long, drawn-out night where whatever was troubling us or whatever assaulted us or whatever we've been going through, we couldn't get any sleep. The storms were horrible. Maybe the electricity's out, and that day just doesn't come soon enough. And what a delight when finally the sun comes up and it begins to be the light of a new day. But this is a sunrise a dawn of a new day, unlike any sunrise beforehand, because it's the dawning of a new eternal day where there is no darkness at all. I'll probably say something further about that, but this is the dawn of what Isaiah will say, and then there was a new heaven and a new earth, and that's picked up as well. And then, I'll confess, I don't understand this entirely, but this sun, S-U-N, rises with healing in its wings. And the best I've come across in commentaries and the like is the rays of the sun are to be thought of as wings. And you see pictures oftentimes, and those rays are going out from the sun. We have some familiarity in Scripture with wings, not always with healing, but still very comforting. Wings are often sheltering, embracing, comforting. So here we have healing as well. So many of you know Psalm 91, and the Lord will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. I think there's a favorite song that we like with that. How about Jesus in the Gospels with recalcitrant Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you to me as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. This sun, S-U-N, think S-O-N, with healing in its wings, with Jesus the hen. It's Jesus is he, but he has everything also that's feminine with the hen's wings to embrace us and clutch us and shelter us and protect us. And we learn here for healing. How beautiful is that? So, the worst of times or the best of times? You realize that day awaited for has already come? But in the most unexpected way imaginable, a two-parter coming. And we're in between part one and part two, but it's already come, because I'll read a little further, and if you can go all the way down to verse 6 on that, I'm going to pick up in verse 5. Concerning this day, the worst of times, the best of times, Malachi, I've said Hosea earlier, didn't I? I'm still in last week. Malachi, we're dealing with Malachi. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. God will provide every provision with a messenger to come and to prepare, so that day might be the best of times. That day has come. You remember Zechariah the priest and Elizabeth the wife, who was barren, but it was announced that Elizabeth's womb would be open and she would bear a son. And Zechariah doesn't believe it, and he's struck dumb. But when the angel speaks to Zechariah about the son that is to come, these are the words: and he, concerning your son, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. I can connect those dots, can you? Jesus later will reflect back with his disciples concerning the forerunner, who said, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and latch his sandals. Jesus said to his disciples, if you are willing to accept that he, that is John the Baptizer, is Elijah to come. So what's going on here? The Son of Righteousness is coming in a very humble way, and for everybody, not yet as an oven, before he comes again at the end of the age. And then it depends whether it will be the oven or the dawning of the brand new day. We're living in between, but in the fulfillment, with every advantage to turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said of his own coming early in his ministry, and he cites Isaiah. He says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned with the first advent of our Lord. Hey, in 2 weeks we start Advent season, and we're still going to get a lot of the text as we end with this church year. I like Peter's address in his letter, 2 Peter 1. He says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's the status of the in-between with the advent of the incarnate word and now the full written word of God. Not the new day just yet, although we already belong to it, but as a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Everything isn't lit up yet. That's still time so that we're not consumed like in an oven, but just enough to see our way until the new day dawns. Get almost goosebumps thinking about that. What a wonderful thing to be thinking about. So for you and me, will Christ return at the end of the age be the worst of times? I'll turn it around from Dickens. Or the best of times? Will it be the oven that consumes and burns up every little phantom of what's left of what we were meant to be? Or will it be a sunrise with such brilliance, the colors like we've never seen them before, with things happening around us that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, prepared for us on that day? Which will it be? The Baptist has come, the Son has come, the prophetic word has been fulfilled. We have every advantage for the word to give birth to faith and sustain faith in our hearts so that on that day, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Good, you got right back. Let's stand. My hope is built on nothing less. Bye. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourself up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown.
Things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgives you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father, in your loving care, you invite us to come before you as your dear children. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer and the opportunity to come to you with all our needs. We come with the assurance that those who seek will find, for you indeed have already found us. We pray the Holy Spirit would give us the words to speak, even when we know not what to say. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you're master of all elements. You are our strength and shield. Even as storms rage about us, we trust in your guidance and protection. We pray that you watch over all who find themselves in hazardous conditions and are subject to the extremes of weather. We pray that you keep them safe and secure in your care, and especially we remember those suffering as a result of Hurricane Ian. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, you rule the universe in wisdom and might. Empower the leaders of all nations to lead with an authority that's guided by your wisdom and your mercy. Grant that the rulers of nations might come to acknowledge you as the one true God, and in doing so, may they lead their people according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, for many, the sea of life becomes rough. Strong winds seem to blow us off course. We ask that you speak to those who are afraid. Bring them your peace. We ask that you fill with your goodness all who are living with hunger, poverty, fear, depression, addiction, or illness of any kind. And we pray especially for them now as we name them in our hearts and aloud.
For Marion.
And Father, we ask your healing hand on Ellen Turner. She is Mary Jo Grimsrud's sister, and Ellen is hospitalized here in an induced coma and is in extreme physical dire straits at this time. And we know that you are the great physician and that the healing is in your hands and in your wings, and that you deal with her in your great goodness, as your will be done. We pray that you walk with them and calm their fears. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.